Yo fam. Hey, before we get into this episode, this is a talk I did at a mental health and addiction fundraiser for a community provider here in Columbus. If you know of anybody looking for mental health and addiction speakers, keynote speakers, workshop leaders around normalizing mental health and addiction, holler at your boy. And then lastly, many of you know my wife, Sarah, is a life and leadership coach, and she has a wonderful membership called Full of Herself, the Full of Herself membership, where she does multiple pump-up sessions a month. These are mini retreats in the middle of the day from 45 minutes to an hour. She brings in outside guests to teach on different topics like burlesque and women's leadership and breath work. And she also does group coaching, which is hot seat coaching. So you get one-on-one coaching with her in a group. And it's really neat. Check her out if you are a female and looking for some way to deepen your relationship with self and also community with other women. That's Sarah at moresoulsessions.com, the Full of Herself membership, and also More Soul Sessions on Instagram. Holler at your boy. Love you.
Thank you, Miss Cotty. I appreciate your warm introduction. As I was listening, I was like, man, that guy sounds pretty good. John, thank you for the honor of sharing the podium with me. I really appreciate it. I see why. John's a smart man, thanking his wife. She started every round of applause. She stood up with all the... I need you behind me, Miss Angie. I want to thank the board members, the employees, the community members, the frontline workers of Community for New Directions. Thank you for your service. I want to thank you for the community partners that showed up today to help open the conversation about normalizing mental health and addiction, more importantly, to support C&D. And helping them continue to innovate programs to help build positive relationships, to help their clients, to inspire their clients to live to their full potential. That sounds like a good mission, doesn't it? Thank you for showing up. You know, when I think about why we care, when I think about moving the conversation forward about mental health and addiction, I think about, how do we get our clients to use our services? How do we get the clients that are actually using us now to expand the services they're using? How do we get clients to stick and stay? You know, once they show up to our services, how do we keep them coming back? More importantly, how do we get to our family and community members before they end up in a crisis, in an emergency room, in rehab, in the back of a police car, or the principal's office? Family, I got some big, audacious ideas on this topic. Would y'all like, can I share those with you? Before we get to that, let me give you a bit of perspective on where these ideas come from. I grew up in a college town in Texas. I was a pretty good kid. I played sports. I showed up to school. I knew how to say yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am. But I had this small problem. It's that I kept getting arrested. Just a little problem. From the age 17 to 20, I was arrested 4 times in 3 years. I was forced into strict probation on the verge of going to jail. And they made me go to rehab with a bunch of old people. They were old. They were like in their 30s and 40s. And with the help of a bunch of people just like you, mentorship, sponsorship, support groups, and a lot of hard work. This past September, we celebrated 21 years in recovery. Mm-hmm. Now, family, it's very important that I say we celebrated, because there is no chance I could have done that alone. For the last 4 years, I've worked for a local mental health and addiction hospital, and part of my job is to talk to like the Department of Corrections and mental health and addiction boards and treatment providers and crisis teams and schools and universities. And almost from the gate, something became abundantly clear. And that is, everybody knows we have an issue with mental health and addiction. It's just nobody knows exactly what to do about it. Now, I'm not saying that many of us in this room have some ideas. I've got some big, audacious ones. I'm not saying that many of you aren't actively participating in helping our community members that struggle with mental health and addiction. But when you think about getting all these different providers, these government agencies, the healthcare system, insurance, the school and universities, the criminal justice system, when it comes to getting everybody on the same page, moving in the same direction, let's just say it can be a bit difficult. Y'all ready to hear some big audacious ideas? Number one, we need to normalize the basics. Basic coaching, basic counseling, basic support group. You know, often when you hear about mental health and addiction, many people think of the acute, the severe, the ones getting locked up that are in treatment. But if we want to normalize, we have to move the middle. Right? Getting people, 80 to 90% of people will never need more than a basic counselor, coach, or support group. NAMI's here, right? Where's NAMI? There they are. Thank you for your service. National Alliance of Mental Illness. These are support groups for people struggling with mental illness and family. On their website, it says about 1 in 5 suffer from some sort of mental health or mental illness disorder, right? It's about 20%, right? Addiction is a bit more abysmal. The general standard is about 1 in 10 suffer from the disease of addiction or other addiction or compulsive issues. About 1 in 10, that's 10%, right? Of that 10%, only about 1 in 30, maybe 1 in 20 are actually seeking help for treatment. Isn't that crazy? So when I'm talking about move in the middle, when I come talk to a big group like this, or I speak at a conference, or I talk to a parent group, and I said, how many of you think we need to do more to normalize mental health and addiction? The whole room raises their hand. However, 80 to 95% of that room are thinking we need to normalize and help them, not me. We need to get them help. Not I, right? So this separation happens when it comes to moving the middle. I'm talking about why we care. How do we get people into services before? The next idea, level of care, education for all. Now, what does that mean? Level of care. What's the difference between a coach, a counselor, a therapist, a psychiatrist, a psychologist, inpatient, outpatient, long-term residential, short-term residential, IOP, PHP, SUD, MAT? Peer-led support groups. You know, when I go around and I talk to these providers, half the people I'm talking to don't even understand level of care. They're in the business. So if it's hard for people even like me to understand, how are our community members, our parents, our family members that are trying to help going to understand? Well, Preston, you might ask, well, how do we educate everybody on level of care? That's a good question, isn't it? Great. Yeah. Here's a big audacious idea. How about we start in the schools? Now, I'm not talking about social-emotional learning or, having counselors and social workers in there. I'm talking about teaching our teachers. Right? Teaching our teachers to take 30 seconds in their parent-teacher conference to use a resource list. Get this. That is simple and easy to understand. Because there's a tendency that this thing that happens in our communities, that people in our industry, we start to use all this clinical jargon, this school jargon, this government jargon. And we're talking to people that are asking and needing for help. And what are they doing? They're nodding their head. Yes, I get it. I get it. Yes, I'm absolutely going to do it. And what happens? Confused people have a hard time making decisions. Right? So how about we teach our teachers to take 30 seconds to say, hey, Mr. and Ms. Smith, thank you for coming to the parent-teacher conference. I would like to share with you, this is our student success resources. This is our mental and emotional wellness resources. This is our life coaching resources, not our mental health, our behavioral health resources, right? This is our student success resources. These are some of the services we have in the school. If you flip it over in the back, these are some resources that are available in our local community, not the entire city of Columbus, right? And it has simple language so they can understand. That means if I drop it on the floor, someone can pick it up and read it and understand what it means, right? And we say, hey, Mr. and Ms. Smith, I know you're fine, but maybe you know someone that might need some help. And if you do, you can ask us questions. Next, let's talk about education. Now, some of you clinicians might be squirming in your boots because you might think that I'm saying teachers need to make clinical recommendations. What I'm saying is that if we can open the door to a question, yes, Ms. Smith, I think we do need some help. And the teacher can go, great, let me take you down to our student success services and introduce you to the experts. I'm talking about why we care. I'm talking about move in the middle. How about we teach people how to responsibly and productively break their anonymity? Now, what does that mean? Anonymity, the state of having no name. In clinical worlds, it's talking about self-disclosure. Now, I am definitely not advocating for us to start self-disclosing in the clinical setting because there's a lot of research that says that's a no-no. But what I am proposing is that all of our community members that have had positive experiences with coaching and counseling and support groups and marriage counseling, not because you're on the verge of divorce, because you need help communicating, that instead of keeping that private, whether it's because you're embarrassed or ashamed that you had to have asked for help, or maybe you don't want any career repercussions if someone finds out, or maybe you don't want to be judged by the other parents that are that your kids play with, and maybe they don't want their kids to come over because they know you were in counseling. Right? What I'm talking about is how can we do that in a responsible and productive way? Would you like to see how I do it? Would you like to see how I do it? I say, hey, nice to meet you. At some point in the conversation, I say, hey, just in case, if you ever know anybody that struggles with mental health or addiction or wants to ask questions about like family and marriage counseling, I want you to know that me and my wife have a lot of experience in that area, and you can give my number out. And they go, okay, cool. And I go, great, let's get back to lunch. What were we doing? Let's watch the game. I didn't say, hey, nice to meet you. I'm from Texas. I almost went to jail. I went to rehab. I go in these rough places and go to these, right? How do we responsibly and productively let people know that the person you are dealing with is a beneficiary of what we're all here to talk about? I'm talking about moving the middle. I'm talking about normalizing the basics. This might get under some of y'all's skin that if you are recommending counseling and therapy and support groups, and you are not utilizing counseling, therapy, and support groups, you are just like my father who used to say, do as I say, not as I do. Are we related? Right? I'm talking about when we're doing this, when we are moving the middle, we become do as I doers. So when I tell people about this thing, I say, this is what I do. Why support organizations like C&D? C&D is what we call in the industry a community provider. You heard John say that they're a nonprofit. They'll see anybody, anywhere, anytime. Maybe I just made that up, but anybody during walk-in hours, regardless of ability to what? That's right. Insurance, no insurance, money, no money. See, one of the biggest issues in our industry is what we call wait times. Now, sometimes providers in Columbus can be a little biased because there's a lot of community providers that have walk-in hours. But if nobody knows about you, if they don't know that they qualify, if they think that they need to be an extreme case and are not using it, the vast majority of the state of Ohio, when you call to get services, you got to wait 2 weeks, 4 weeks, 6 weeks. Call Nationwide Children's. Hey, Alex. See how long a wait list to get your child in to see someone. Why support organizations like C&D? They got full walk-in hours. One of the things I'm very passionate about is if we just focus on the sick, if we just focus on the diagnosed, right? And we don't address what? The family, the community. It's kind of like trying to fix the faucet and forgetting to fix the well, right? So one thing I like about C&D is they're always innovating programs to help provide services for family and community members to wrap around clients, right? So when they go home, we can all get on the same page. They're offering youth prevention programs, teaching people about leadership and violence reduction. That's good, right? We must support organizations like this. Now, some of y'all have it on your heart that you want to get involved. Some of you, maybe you want to volunteer, right? You come to events like this, you share it on social, you show up, see if maybe you can participate in some of their events or services. Some of you, y'all got a big budget. You work for a big company. You can write a check or what? I think I saw the code on there. You can like Venmo $5 or something, right? If that is on your heart, I want to encourage you to do that. Some of you work in the field and think C&D would be a good partnership, or maybe you already have a partnership and you want to expand that because, again, it's about family, community, and wraparound. And maybe y'all can partner and support each other. I'd like to encourage you to do that, whatever that looks like. I want to leave you with this. You know, one of the benefits of having an active personal development program, I do a lot of stuff, that I've got a number of men that I can call. And usually I'm calling to complain. Do I got any complainers out there?
Yeah.
I'm usually complaining about her or him or work or those providers or insurance, right? And what's great about these people that are accountability partners is they always bring it back to, what was your part?
Yeah.
How are you contributing to the issue? How can you see it from a different perspective? Right? And he always says, if you want to change your family, if you want to change your workplace, if you want to change your community, let it begin with me. Thanks for letting me share.